Thank you for tuning in to the Highest Praise Church podcast. For more information about Highest Praise Church, please visit highestpraisechurch.com. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Sherwood Lancaster.
Give the Lord a praise. Well, I got a great cast behind me. It's just some of my team, and we're very excited. All week, all month long, we've been talking about family. We've been talking about our children. Trying to give you guys some tools in your pocket so that you can help you in every possible way that we can covenant with you to raise your children. And the best way, as your church, we believe you're covenant with us here, that let you see some of our staff members we have behind the scenes. We call it behind the scenes because when you're in here, what's going on back there? What's going on in our children's department right now with our kids? Got a full staff back there, our preschool department, and all during the week and every day, we're at middle school and our high school. Well, I have Miss Hannah Hamilton, she moved on me, so she's over here. She is our children's pastor, and she's generally over there in the student center. She's also our lower grade principal over at Southeastern Christian Academy, so amongst other things. And we have Pastor CJ and Jordan. They're over here on my right. They are my middle school pastors. Amongst other things, they also do here in this ministry. And also Ryan and Ashley McCoy over here on my left. And they are youth pastors. And so that goes from 5-year-olds up to high school, all the way through a senior. So they're going to be talking about some of these age groups, some of these challenges you guys might have as parents or grandparents, or just knowing what's going on in the world today and what's attacking them and how we combat it, how we go back and try to give you everything you need as we covenant together and raise these children the way they should go. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Hannah, and she's going to share what God's laid upon her heart and tell what's going on in the children's department. Give it up, Miss Hannah, this morning, if you can.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited to be up here today. In the children's department, it ranges from infants all the way up to fifth grade, and it's such a special ministry. I wore my blue shirt, so you would like it, want to wear it. You want one too? I have plenty. I have bins of them I can give out. We need all hands on deck, and it doesn't matter if you've already had children and brought them in and you've served your time. God always has time that you're appointed to be a part of what He's doing, and it can be in the infant and it can be in the children all the way up to high school. He has a plan. And what we're doing in the children's department is we are pouring into them everything that we can. And the blue shirt also reminds me of I don't have a choice. This is what God has called me to do, and there are no other choices because what He's planted on the inside of me is exactly what they need. And the same thing with us. When you put on that blue shirt, you're pouring out that day exactly what God has for that child. So there's no ministry that's not important or valuable to our church. It's all the way down to the babies, and God wants to move through those families as they're dropped off. He wants to anoint those families to go out and do work, but it all starts with us saying, I don't have a choice. I'm going to do what He called me to do. And the thing that gets me is when we venture out to have choices, when we venture out to have a choice other than what God has called us to, and that's what we teach our children. You don't have a choice. You're going to go the way that God has called you to go. We're going to apply the name of Jesus to every part of you so that you will go the way that He's called you to go. We are instilling in them about obedience, about confidence, about how God has marked them and He has a plan that He's planned for them way in advance. That's what we've been talking about this month is Ephesians 2:10. And they have a mark on them, and they're going to do things for the body of Christ and for the people that are in our community. But we have to all be all hands on deck. We all have to come in this together as parents and as leaders. We're up here all together. We have the same vision. We have the same heart. And as you're going to see with our message, we're all going the same direction. That's how God worked it out. He's talking to us today about changing our direction. And that all starts with a choice, our choice, our choices. I think that nowadays, I feel like children have way too many choices, way too many choices. It was pretty clear back in the day. You can know, I'm going to choose, what I want to play with. Well, now it's choosing who I want to be. Now it's choosing, do I want to be a homosexuality? Do I want to go that route? Or do I want to, I don't feel loved and I don't feel secure, so then I seek that out through social media or through other avenues? But we have too many choices. You can even choose today if you want to be a pet or not. in the schools. That is a valid choice of what you can be today. It goes that far. And so what we got to do is we got to rein it in and say, you do not have a choice. Everybody tell me, you don't have a choice. You can tell them in the kids. They repeat after me every second because I want them to remember it. And the way you remember it is by saying it. So I tell them, point to myself because I'm talking to me. You don't have a choice. Okay, so there's choices there. But do you know why the children have so many choices and they actually entertain them? It's because we have so many choices and we entertain them. We have choices of what music we listen to. We have choices of if we want to bring the adult cooler to the beach and tell the kids not to get in it. We have the choice to go to these concerts. We have the choice to talk to these friends or talk negatively or we have the choice to hit decline button because we don't feel like serving today. Okay, so that's what we have choices, but God has called us to say to ourselves, and we can point to ourselves again and say, I don't have a choice. Everybody say it. I don't have a choice. Okay, I like that. We're waking up a little bit. So we don't have a choice. There is a way unto men that seems right. So it seems right that you allow children to be who they are. I wish I could think of that phrase where it's not be beautiful. You ever heard that? Be unique. Be you. But when we give a child a chance to be you or be themselves and not be a child of the king, then we get some problems. The outcomes are not exactly what we intended. So God is bringing us here today to tell our children that they do not have a choice, but that starts with us. Everything starts from the head and it works its way down. What we preach to those children back there and what we instill in them is because that's the head of what pastor is instilling in us. And they, a lot of times our messages line up with exactly what we're learning in here. And God is doing that on purpose. He's doing that on purpose to bring unity within our families, not just to send them to the back because they're a distraction. God has pulled them in and he wants to use them. So we're there to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I know that sounds kind of, you know, oh, I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, but that's exactly what he's called us to be. He's exactly what he wants us to do. So there's a way that seems right unto men, but I didn't finish that. But it seems right. It seems right, but it leads to destruction. And so today I'm talking about making that choice, our choices, and what God has called us to do with our direction, okay? So I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, and it's talking about the call of Elisha from Elijah. And it says, so he departed there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. You would think I would have asked Pastor CJ before I came up here. I said this last time and I still can't get it right. Who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. So something came upon him, Elisha. He was doing what he knew to do, and that's what God calls us to do. Do what you know until he brings the next thing. So the cloak was put upon him and he left the oxen. So he dropped what he had and he ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. So he had a covenant with his father and his mother, and he said, be right back. I'm going to follow you and follow what God has called him to do. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And then he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, boiled them in with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. How many know that he didn't have another choice? When he knew he was successful, he was the 12th one in the line of oxen, and he was successful, but he knew what he had to do. Sometimes we have to do that in our own lives. We can't go to the places that we think that we can handle. We can't entertain the movies that we think are okay, they're not going to affect us. We can't entertain the music that we keep pouring in but makes us depressed and we don't even realize it. We can't take the chance to have those things filtered in, because what he's called us to do is go a completely different direction. So if we're pouring those things in, it's steering us to the wrong place. And that's what we tell our kids in kids' church is, you have to be obedient. And we put this big old O, everybody does the O, you know, and we're obedient. That means you're going to be at the right place at the right time. But if we're not obedient, we're going to end up somewhere that he never intended. Or that, like this farmer, he's going to end up in a field where it was never meant to be his provision. And so God is calling us to change direction. But if we ignore what's placed on us for the sake of what is before us, then we miss it. So if we ignore what God has placed on us for the sake of what we're hard bent on doing. We know we can do this. We know this is the way that we're going, because sometimes he calls us to do something different because he has an outcome that's going to far exceed what we can do with our own hands. Okay, so we don't want to miss it. Look to your neighbor and say, I don't want to miss it. It's because of that sacrifice that Elisha made is not in his time spent. It's a sacrifice because we see the fire, we see what comes from it, and he sacrificed all that he had worked hard for, and it's there in the fire, and it's all gone. But it's because he's going to a higher call. So the sacrifice is not in the time spent and all that he's done, but the sacrifice is in the direction went. The direction that he goes is a sacrifice. The direction that we choose to go is a sacrifice. It's not in what we can do with our hands, but it's what God is doing with everything that's on the inside of us. But we want the fire without breaking the plow. So we don't want to break things down in our life, but we want to see the fire. We want to reap the benefits of all that God has placed in us and in our children, but we're not willing to break down the things that we are using on a daily basis, the commitments that we make on a daily basis, the covenant that we make on a daily basis. God is calling us to break all of those things and to strictly to follow him. And it means you have to do away with those things that we constantly have our hand to. And how many people know that there's no discount rack when it comes to God? It's not easy. It's not on sale. It's not something you pick up on your way home. It's intentional, and you go after it, you save up for it, and you have the means to get it because he's placed it on the inside of you. But there is no easy way out. He could not sacrifice the first 10 and leave the last two just in case it didn't work out. We have to take everything that is leading us in a direction of what the world says is okay, because it leads therefore in destruction, and we have to turn and we have to trust him. But how many knows it's hard when you don't see it and you burnt everything that you know for everything that he has? It's hard. But we are not teaching our children how to act. We are teaching them the way that they must go. Now, Pastor Ryan said earlier that the McCoys, I'll let him tell it, but the McCoys have something about them. Well, the Hamiltons have something about us. And I would say that that's the biggest thing that I say is you do not have a choice. And a lot of times we expect our children to listen to us and have that authority, but we cannot have that authority if we allow the choices that we're telling them that they can't have. So we have to do exactly what God has called us to do so that we can rise up in that authority of what he wants to do with our children. And I know I need to hurry up. But I was thinking about when we were singing that song, The Darkness Running out of an Empty Grave. And I was thinking about, we sing that and we believe that. And I believe everybody, it felt, on one accord, everybody believed that. But how many times do we go back home and the light turns out in that room, but we don't want to embark in on that territory, but we're singing about it here. So we need to take everything inside of us. We need to clean the house, and we need to make room for him. We need to make room for what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And it doesn't mean that we just park the plow on Sundays to show our commitment. No, we have to burn the plow. It's kind of a little heavy, but we have to burn it because God has to take us somewhere. But our lack of commitment in not doing that, it plants the seeds of resistance. So then we start seeing this resistance rise up in our children because of our lack of commitment. So what I want to, and then we get these trees. Seeds come into trees, right? When you plant the seeds, you get the trees. And so what we're planting and allowing in our lives is coming out in our children. And we want to teach them how to act. We want to teach them what to do or what not to do. There's list upon list upon list, and that's what we could do in the back too. But what God has called us to do, because none of us really know. None of us really know all the exact answers, but we do know what God has called us to do, and we do know that we are supposed to send them in the way that they must go. Okay, so the question is, what will my child, this is my question to, it's to ourselves as we serve, it's also in the children's department as children's pastor or in our school, and it's also to us as parents, what will my child miss if I park the plow but I don't burn it? that's where I want to leave you today, is what will my child miss if I don't give it my all and I still entertain all these things? But what he wants us to do is to let go of all of that. And my challenge is for you to put that down, to burn it. And how many know the fire of revival comes from the breaking of a yoke that he has set us free from? But if we leave it there, then that will never be able to come out of it. So what I believe God wants you to know is change the direction. Those things that you know that we need to get rid of as parents, or to straighten our direction, he wants to bring that, but it flows all the way through us, all the way to our children. So let's pick not the path of least resistance, but let's pick the path of persistence in doing what God has called us to do as parents and as leaders. And together, we're going to raise up mighty oaks, as Pastor CJ is going to say, mighty oaks that will spread out, and they'll offer shade to those who need rest. They're going to offer everything that the people around them need, but we have to be intentional. And that's my purpose as being there with the kids. It's my purpose as a parent, is to put the blood of Jesus on the inside of them. They know that they don't have a choice. They're going to follow and do what God has called them to do, and we're going to see the benefit of that. So thank you.
Amen. She bad to the bone. She'd be saying some stuff. For those of you who don't know, I'm Pastor CJ. I'm the middle school pastor. This is my wife, Jordan. She's my helpmate for middle school. She said, I don't know if y'all heard this, but she said, there's no discount rack with God. You better watch that thrift shopping. I'm serious. We just kind of walk through the Bible and we grab whichever little verses that we want. Or here's the best one, is when we pick which days. We pick what days we want to really serve God. I was thinking about this as she was talking, and it just kept resounding. The enemy builds strongholds on the walls of divided minds. Strongholds are built in the walls of divided minds, which means, here's what I want to take even one step further. She mentioned like having the adult cooler on the beach, but then we act one way in church. In that division, that separation, that's where strongholds and generational curses are built. I was talking to a parent the other day, and she was talking about talking back. Like I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, right? Anybody have kids talking back? And I out of nowhere, I just said, how do they hear you talk to your husband? So here's the thing. Like, we are, like Miss Hannah said, we are cultivating these seeds. And one of the things, I don't remember if she said it this one, but she definitely said it first service, that our lack of commitment causes seeds of resistance to grow up. But our consistency will cause oaks of righteousness to grow up, and their limbs will branch out and shade, and they will. I wonder what it would be like if we sent our kids to school as evangelists, and not just like afraid. Let me say it another way. Like, we want prayer to be back in schools, and it will only have the desired effect when prayer gets back in homes. We have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, form and create members of the body. If you're a parent in here, you have been entrusted with God's kid, not any other thing. That child is the Lord's, and you have been entrusted with something to do with that. You're raising up a child. So one of the things that we see in middle school, you know, in middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, if you can just think back to when you were in like 7th grade, they're just the most fun and awkward. Like, do y'all remember middle school? Like, how many of you would say middle school is the best years of my life? Nobody. No, nobody will ever say that. Like, high school is where it gets really fun. Here's the thing, though. Middle school is the most important years of spiritual development and maturity out there. One of the things I read, I read this a couple years ago, and it's that 82% of the current, if things stay the same, and overall, 82% of the current middle schoolers who claim to be Christian will walk away from faith by their second year of college. Pastor Jordan says a lot that the church is always one generation away from extinction. It is our job to make sure that that statistic is not the truth. And the way that we do that is we build authentic faith. Faith that can stand up in the eyes of liberals who say you can be one way or another. Or faith that has enough strength in its legs to hold itself up in the eyes of a college professor who's arguing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's our job to help cultivate that. Some of the things that we do, if you're really familiar, we meet every Wednesday night. But on Sundays, it's important to us that middle school and high schoolers stay in here for church. We don't want to create this facade of like, oh, that's in there for the adults, and we have this little junior baby Holy Spirit for you. That's not how it works. So on Sundays, it's important that middle schoolers and high schoolers are here learning how to be part of the body, how they can relate with elders, right? How they can relate and how, does that make sense? And then on Wednesdays, we do everything we can to get personal and begin to generate authentic faith that can stand up. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know, this is 6 or 7 years ago before we were the middle school pastors. Me and Jordan helped serve under Ryan and Ashley. And some of the things that they would see as like 9th graders and 10th graders struggling with, we're now seeing as like 5th and 6th graders struggling with. Like, these are real battles that are happening. And I know that you think that little Susie is an angel, but I'm telling you there are not just people, but there are spiritual systems that are designed to pull them down. 4th and 5th and 6th graders addicted to pornography. Yep. Yeah, I got quiet. I know. No way. I'm telling you, it's true. Like, we have a real battle that's happening, and it's up to us as the church to stand up and fight for a generation. I've got some numbers for you. These are like kind of sobering. If you're a 12th grader, if you're going to start 12th grade this year, you have 48 hours in church until you move out and go to college. There's only 48, if you're going into 12th grade, you have 48 hours left in church before we go to college. You know what's crazy? Is we get students 1 hour a week, and parents have the accessibility to have one-on-one time with their children 40 hours a week. We have to come together. If you have a 9th grader, if you have a 9th grader going into 9th grade, they have 192 hours left in church before they move out and go to college. Guys, it's important to make church important. Like, 192 hours is nothing. I told the first service, I've been on fast longer than that. It doesn't look like it, but I have. Like, one time, I almost lost my life. It was awful. If you're going into 6th grade, if you have a 6th grader, 336 hours. That's not very long. If you have a 3rd grader, 480 hours. My point is, it's time to have some urgency with the development of our children and the next generation. Amen? It's time to, like, develop some grit about it. You know, one of the things, as I was kind of preparing, and I was reading the other day, and I was reading about the stock market. Anybody know anything about the stock market? Okay, so one of the things that a lot of people say is, like, people try to, like, guess the next Apple or, like, the Bitcoin thing and all of those other things, right? And everyone's like, no, the best thing to do to build wealth is that time in the market will always beat timing the market. Meaning, if you just consistently invest, it will always outperform getting lucky. And what I kept thinking about today is that time in his presence will always beat timing his presence. Meaning, don't wait for your world to fall apart to drag your kid to church. Consistent time in his presence will produce the results that Hannah was talking about. That is what produces it. It's not like the one and done. Like, most people, you realize that Christianity should be follow the leader and not tag, right? You know that tag is an acronym that stands for touch and go. And instead of playing follow the leader with God, we play give me my touch and I'm gonna go, and then I'll come back whenever I'm it again. We have to be consistent in our pursuit of God and in our leading our family into the Lord. You know, we were talking about Elisha a minute ago, and there's a story with Elisha, and there was this king. He comes, and he has these arrows, and he tells him, you know, strike the ground, and you'll get the victory that you need. And he strikes 2 or 3 times, and then he stops. And Elisha freaks out because he said, if you would have just kept striking, you would have gotten the victory. And I'm here to tell you, do not give up. Do not be the person that looks back and thinks, I wish I would have kept striking. Because God has a victory for every arrow that you're brave enough to pick up. Listen, any battle you're brave enough to confront with your children, God has prepared the victory for it. One of the things that we need more than anything else in the world is wisdom. When it comes to being a parent, it's one of the most difficult and fun and amazing jobs, but you need wisdom. And I just want to leave this, that especially in this church with the incredible leadership and pastor that we have, the obedience, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Meaning, you don't obey because you understand. You understand once you start obeying. So what I'm really saying is that when there's a call made from this office, from this place, to set something down or don't do Halloween or stop drinking or all those things, it's not up for you to understand. Actually, if you just obey, that's when wisdom comes. Amen? All right, so I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to give it off to Pastor Ryan. Y'all give it up for one of my greatest friends in the whole world.
Everybody doing okay? If you're a parent in the room, say yes.
Yes.
There you go. Yes, you are. In Jesus' name, you are a parent. I just shout out to these people up here. Just to let you know, you are in a great place. Your kids are in a great place no matter what age. Miss Hannah sitting up here, I've got a fixing to be 8-year-old, but Demi will tell you right now that she's going to change the world and live for God. And you'll say, why? And she says, Miss Hannah said I could. And she's 8 years old. She had her in pre-K. I have a 17-year-old that even I am like a bust up into your room kind of person. So I have a 17-year-old, went in her room. She wasn't even there the other night. On her bed sat notebook, pen, Bible, sitting right there where she sleeps. And all I have to say is that I have that to credit to these three people sitting here behind me, that our kids are in a good place, in a great place, being taught how to handle things, how to battle things spiritually and physically, and helping you raise your children just like they raised mine. Pray for my boys. That I mentioned the two girls. My boys are wild as can be. Pray for them. They're going to get it too. We're going to succeed. They're with the same people. They're going to be great. But they are crazy as all get out. They are fun though. So just so you know, we want to say that we are tools in your hands. That's why we are here. I think one of the greatest things that we could give maybe our students is to teach them who they are. But one of the greatest things that we could give parents is to help you understand, especially when we do things or make decisions or talk to your children or anything like that. You need contact with us to help understand why things are going on and why we say, because I think one of the biggest things that we could help give parents and even grandparents is God's perception on why we're doing things. If you could better spend time and understand God, you would understand more so how to parent, how to make decisions, and why you're leading kids the way that they should be going. And I say that all to say, anyone in here ever done something for God? Like, you ever felt like, man, God is telling me to do this. God's telling me to move here. God's telling me to take this job. This is the Lord in my life. How many, if you say you've done anything like that, it was not even close to the easiest thing you've ever done? Huh? When God does something in your life, it is never that comfortable. The reason is that God is 1,000 times more concerned with our development than our comfort at any day. Why would you expect that you should raise your kids any differently than God is leading you to do things in your life? It is not our job as pastors and as parents to make things comfortable for our kids so that they're able to grasp things in their life and they're able to feel love in the meantime, when that is not the way God operates in our own life at all. God sometimes will say, do this, and set you out there by yourself and say, I'm just going to watch this thing unfold. And you're like, holy cow, Lord, I'm not even tall enough to do this. What are you talking about? Help me, God. No, but what I'm saying is, If you understand God, you will understand that in raising your children, what your concern is their development in each season of their life and not their comfort level or what you can give them or what you can provide for them that your family didn't or your dad didn't or how easy it was or how hard. No, you have to be just as concerned with their development in God as God is concerned about your development as a son and daughter of God all together. So just so you know, in handling your kids, that is what you have to be concerned about. It's their development. And understanding God right, there's no better way to know how to raise your kids. So if you understand God the Father, it will help you raise and develop kids and not treat it in two different ways. Like God should be God and pastors should be pastors and then parents should be parents. No, we are all in this together. We're talking about not being divided, not having divided thoughts and divided mind. Kids know and sense that. You know in your home, if you disagree or there's a war in between you and your wife or you and your husband on how you should raise kids or how you discipline, kids know that and they get away with everything and things that are supposed to be broke off of their lives that you were supposed to deal with one time in their life and then they would be set free from it goes on for years and years and years, and it's all because of the divide in between you. And here's what I want to say, because Pastor Jordan had a staff meeting once years ago now, but he led a staff meeting, and in the staff meeting we were talking about things that were going on, situations and things we're struggling with, and we didn't have really any answers. And Pastor Jordan just popped up and hit three things in a row. Boom, boom, boom. This is what we're going to do. Boom, boom, boom. And I was like, yes, we are. Okay. And then I thought, so we got out of the staff meeting and I said, how did you do that? Like, how did you just know? And he looked at me and said, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And I thought, you just set me free more than anybody on earth. But this is what he said. I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I know we need to be doing something to get us to this next place. And as parents, you don't always have to know exactly what to do. Your job is only to be sensitive to the direction they're going. And if it's in the wrong direction, turn the wheel around and figure it out as you go. You have to be able as a parent to realign the lives of the students to the direction God has them. So be free in knowing you don't have to have all the answers. Just don't be afraid to take the wheel of the vehicle of an 18-year-old, of a 15-year-old, of a 5-year-old, and spin that wheel around and say, I don't know what we're doing, but we're not doing this. We're going to go this direction and see what God has this way. Don't be afraid. If I could tell you anything as a parent, God gave you the right. It doesn't matter how your kids came to be. It doesn't matter how you came to be. It doesn't matter. God orchestrated something through the good or the bad to get you on earth at this time. And the same thing for your kids. And God has given you the right in this season that no past, no trauma, no sin, nothing that has happened before eliminates your right to parent your kid rightly. And we are here for you to even help you if you need to communicate to them what God's purpose in this hard season of their life is and why you're dropping the hammer or why you're backing off because they're doing so good. And we are here to help you lead them. And what we're really here for is to reinforce each other. Jesus came not to be the opposite of God on earth. Jesus came to earth to be a demonstration and a reinforcement of his Father's will on the earth. And we are pastors here to help you, to help be the demonstrations and the reinforcements of what you need in your home to see your kids succeed in the kingdom of God. And we need to be vice versa. We are demonstrating and reinforcing each other. Timothy talks about being pricked. The Bible calls it goads. And he's saying this, that there is a direction I'm heading. And he's saying, don't neglect the pricks. And so what we are as parents and pastors together is we are pointing our students in a direction. And as they go, and when they start to get off, they're pricked by something on the side. And then they start to get off again, we prick them again. And it is our job to raise them so that they could walk alone in this, raise their families in this, have marriages in this, and that they are successful and succeed as young women and young men of God, which is going to help them more than a bank account full of money ever will. And so as we do this, don't be afraid of focusing on their development versus their comfort. Well, as parents all the time, we convince ourselves that if we don't do things this heavy, that's real love. No, that's usually culture or the world teaching us or telling us things that we're going to run kids off if we come on too strong and blah, 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 blah. Trust God. Be a parent. Trust God with the rest. And then we are here to help you with all of those things. You don't have to be relevant. You just have to raise your kids. If you try to get on their level and be relevant with them, you give them a whole lot of excuses to let them be the way they are way longer than they were supposed to be, if that makes sense. If you raise them, it will eliminate excuses that relevant just sticks in their hands. But we are here to help you cultivate that. Will there be hard times? Is there hard decisions? Yes. But if you are reinforcing these kids in between us and you, there is nowhere they can run. There is no option they can make that won't bring them back home. This epiphany hit me last service is that the prodigal son, he was the prodigal son, but to be the prodigal, he had to leave his daddy's house because his daddy was at home raising him. But when the prodigal natures and rebellion ran out of him, where did he come to? Not the relevant ones, the ones raising him. He came back home to his dad's. So trust God. We want to be with you to steer the ship, to rearrange their lives, to send them in the right directions. If I asked Ashley last night, I said, Ashley is so much better with words than me and so less long-winded as I am. She is to the point. She's fantastic. And I asked her, I said, if you put what we do, like if I needed to tell these parents like what we're currently doing, what we think, or how we're doing high school ministry, I said, what would it be? And she said, well, you know the story where Satan comes to Jesus in the wilderness and he had been fasting and Satan like comes and tries to get him to turn stones into bread. And then Satan comes and says, throw yourself off this building. God will send his angels, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, I remember that. And she said, well, what Satan is doing is this, is he comes up and in Matthew 4, he says, he looks at Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, you can take these stones and turn them into bread. And then Jesus quotes a scripture and says what God says. And then he turns around and says, yes, but throw yourself off this building because also if God is God, then he also says he'll send his angels down to have charge of you. So, and this is what he did. He attacked him in two ways. He attacked Jesus' identity as the Son of God. He attacked who Jesus you really think you are, or who you're called to be. And then on top of that, he attacked God, God's identity, saying, well, if he's not who he is, then this is definitely not gonna work out, and you're already not who you think you are. And he attacked Jesus's identity, and then Jesus's identity of who his father was. And she said, culture in the world are trying to do one thing in our high schoolers. They are trying to attack the identity of who they are. And they're doing that by dismissing or discrediting who God really says he is. So if anything, we are here to call them back to who they really are, their real identity. Tell them who their real father is, who their real family is, because if Satan will attack Jesus with identity, you think he's not going to press a 15-year-old on their identity? Who they're supposed to date? How they're supposed to look? What's going on? And then I told this, and this is what Miss Hannah was talking about in the first story. I don't always know what I'm doing, or me and Ashley. We'll do things with our kids, and we'll walk in our bedroom and shut the door and be like, dear Lord, I hope that was right. God, whatever decision we just made to fix this, just take it and know that we love you and we want this to work out for the best and just help us out. But oftentimes, if one of the kids get a little out of sorts or doing things a little crazy, I even told one of the boys one day, I said, you are not allowed to do this. Why? Because you are a McCoy. When you put on a uniform or a jersey, the back of it says MCCOY. And this is what I have to tell you. McCoys do not do this. They don't act this way. They don't talk like that. They don't walk like that. They don't do that to people. They're not. This is not who you are, and you're not allowed to be anything different. And the same applies to if they know whose they are. It puts an identity within them of who they can be. So what we're doing as pastors right now in your kids' life is that anything outside of the family of God or the son and daughter of God they're supposed to be, we're going to look at them and say, no, that's not who you are. That's not your family. That's not your name. That's not the trend. That's not who you're called to be. That's not your purpose. No. And why? But Pastor Ryan, why can't we do that? Because that's not who you are. And the people telling you you can do that, they're not whose you are. So let's take this back to God the Father and you the Son or you the daughter, and let's teach you and tell you who you were created to be and whose you are created to be, and then let's put you in the right direction and let you ride your car straight off into the success of being a son and daughter of God, of raising a family, having kids one day, honoring God, walking in His purposes, walking in His will. And so what if we could do anything as a group up here? We are here to help you all have them on the right, in the right direction. And this is what I have to say to this church family. No matter what you feel, we have great students here. And you guys are great parents already. And if we could do anything, we just want to encourage you to not be distracted, to not feel like you've lost it, to not feel like you haven't done enough. I wanted to encourage you to hang on, to keep the right to be a parent, to keep your purpose, to know your purpose in life right now is to raise that 18-year-old, is to raise that 8-year-old, is to make decisions. And you don't have to be right, but just point them right. Just point them the right directions. And what we want you to know is that we are here for every step. We want to be a part of your lives. We want to be a part of their lives. And this is what I told First Service. There's several tools. Your kids have our numbers. We don't ever want the kid to have conversations with us you don't know about as far as that. Like, we want to reinforce each other. We want to help each other. We want to help each other understand. We can set up meetings. We have Facebook groups where we can share resources and talk. But this is one of the coolest things I'll give you as a parent. Sorry, but they already know. But I am a great tattletale. I am the best tattletale. And it's because it takes us. You cannot eliminate the relationship between pastors and parents. You can't do it. The answer to adolescence nowadays is strong. It's a strong family. And I don't mean just at your house. I mean this family. It is the answer to all of these age groups becoming who they were called to be. And we want to help you do that. You can ask these kids if they get in trouble or something comes up. I'll usually say, all right, you're going to get home from service. You got 30 minutes to have your parent call me. You go tell them what you did. Then have them talk to me. It's going to help you because you came forward. And then it will help me because I don't have to call them and blow their mind about something that we just had a conversation about. So what I'm saying is that is how we're here to help you. We want to partner with you. We want to give you resources. We want to give you our perspective. We want to give you things that we feel like God has laid on our heart for your child. And we want to reinforce each other to see them become real sons and daughters of God, to see them make it, to see them not struggle with even mediocre or trends or being average, but being real sons and daughters of the King. Living for Him, walking in their purposes, and doing everything that they were created to do right here. And we can do that together, right? Right? Come on, parents. We can do that together. You are doing it already, and I'm here to tell you you're doing a great job. So let's not stop. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message from our weekend experience. If you want to partner with us as we see lives changed and God's kingdom advanced, you can donate through our website, highestpraisechurch.com. And if you would like to stay up to date with all that God is doing here, be sure to follow us on Instagram at highest.praisechurch and like us on Facebook at Highest Praise Church. We can't wait to see you soon.